Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Srimad Bhagavatam 7:8:27. The Lord slays the king of the demons. Tam manyamano nija virya sankitam. Tam manyamano nija virya sankitam. Yadhasta mukta nihraim mahasura. Yadhasta mukta nurharim mahasura. Punastvam asajata kadga karmani. Tam, him, Lord Nrisimhadev, manyamanaha, thinking, nija, viryasankitam, afraid of his prowess, yat, because, hastamukta, freed from the clutches of the Lord, Nriharim, Lord Nrisimhadev, Mahasura, the great demon, Punaha, again, Tam, him, Lord Nrisimhadev, Asajata, attacked, Kadga Charmani, his sword and shield. There you go. Pragrihya, taking up. Vegena, with great force. Gata Ashrama, his fatigue having gone. Mrade, in the battle. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When Hiranyakasipu was freed from the hands of Lord Nrisimhadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. Now, Prabhupada's purport. When a sinful man enjoys material facilities, foolish people sometimes think, how is it that this sinful man is enjoying, whereas a pious man is suffering? By the will of the Supreme, a sinful man is sometimes given the chance to enjoy the material world as if he were not under the clutches of material nature, just so that he might be fooled. A sinful man who acts against the laws of nature must be punished. But sometimes he is given a chance to play, exactly like Hiranyakasipu when he was released from the hands of Nrisimhadev. Hiranyakasipu was destined to be ultimately killed by Nrisimhadev, but just to see the fun, the Lord gave him a chance to slip from his hands. So, tam manyamano nijavirya shankitam. So we're continuing with this story of this pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev. What kind of avatar is Lord Nrisimhadev? Is he a Purusha avatar? It's Hari Lila over there. Yeah, Lila avatar. So, which is a more advanced worship? Lila avatars or Sankarshan? Sankarshan. Yeah. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says that because of the comprehension of Krishna as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu is still materially tinged, right? There's still some material tinge there. Shirodakshaya Vishnu is sat and chit. You know, realizing the sat and chit features of the Lord. But there's still no possibility of having a rasa with the super soul. You know? Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayesha Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundarama Chinta Gunasurupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Jami. When a devotee sees the Super Soul, he sees through the Super Soul and sees Shama Sundar behind him like that. Just like there's light in this room, but if somebody has a proper orientation, he can see the light bulb all, and he can see the filament inside of it like that. So when like the gopis look at four-handed Narayan, you know, they see Krishna, you know, behind it like that. Yeah, he's the source. That's where it's coming from. So, but if somebody else is materially entangled, he sees, oh, there's somebody in my heart or something or somebody that can give me advice, inspiration, intuition, you know, the something, you know, the supreme psychologist or something like that. And so it's still like a material idea, you know, there's sad and shit. It's outside the control of time. It's all cognizant, but there's no possibility of reciprocation. Durvasa Muni went all the way to Vaikuntha, being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra. He saw Vishnu face to face, but still he couldn't appreciate Lakshmi. You know, he couldn't appreciate the Kundalini Shakti like that. In Vishuddha Sattva, we can see Krishna face to face in Vishuddha Sattva. But again, there's no Ananda. There's Sat and Chit, but no Ananda like that. But if we come to that position, it's the best place to then to realize Ananda. Like the four Kumaras, Sukadeva Goswami, they're in purified goodness, you know, pure goodness, very intense. So as soon as they had the smell of Tulsi leaves or the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, they became pure devotees, you know, very quickly. Yeah? Okay, so we go beyond the conception of Shirodakshaya Vishnu, we go beyond the conception of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. These all, you know, are fall back into Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu is the first level of transcendental bhakti. Yeah? In that level, one can be in Shantaras, always glorifying the Lord, who is lying down in a gigantic bed of a Seshanaga, the softest white foam, with huge heads, you know, spewing forth fire, and surrounded by great devotees like Nanda and Sunanda, and everybody in a palace, you know, made of thousands of columns. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's full of this opulence and, you know, Aishwarya forever. Wow, you know. So if by worshipping Mahavishnu, you can be promoted to the worship of Lila avatars, like Varaha, Nrisimha, you know, Ram. And by worshipping them, you can be promoted to the worship of Sankarshan, who's just outside of, you know, Goloka, and then you can be promoted to the worship of Krishna in Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. And even within Vrindavan, there are different levels of, right, of comprehension of Krishna's pastimes, activities like that. Yeah. So Hiranyakasipu is, Nrisimhadev is a Lila avatar. He's a part of Krishna's potency. It's like in the morning, some man gets up and he's in the bedroom with his wife, and they're getting dressed and getting ready for their day. And they're talking about some of the problems their children are going through and themselves. And they talk very confidentially. Maybe even have very special names for each other, honey, darling, you know. And they go out for breakfast and they sit down at the table with their parents or, you know, their children. And now they, you know, they start talking a little bit more formally with things. Then the guy gets on, he puts on his, you know, his police officer's uniform, and he goes out for traffic patrol with another police officer, and they're going around this way and that way. And some girl is driving very erratically, you know, so they pull her over, and the guy goes and gives her a ticket, and he says, miss, and she says, officer. Then when he goes back to the police car, the other police officer says, you know that girl, don't you? You know her, don't you? And he says, yeah, it's my daughter. And tonight when we get home, we're going to talk about her driving a little bit more, right? And she knows, oh boy, when I get home tonight, officer so-and-so is going to... I probably won't drive for a year after this. You know? So it's all the same person, right? But he's manifesting less of his qualities, you know, in different positions like that. You know? And so Hiranyakasipu, what's his comprehension of Krishna? Huh? What does he think? What does he think Krishna is? Huh? Yeah, but what does he think about the Lord Nrisimhadev incarnation? I think it mentions it.
He
he thinks it's some kind of magical beast invented by Lord Vishnu. He thinks that, you know, Lord Narasimhadeva is some kind of magical beast, you know, some kind of thing that Lord Vishnu invented to try and defeat him. But nobody can defeat me. And what did Hiranyaksha think about Lord Varaha? What did he call him when he saw him? Lord Varaha was picking up the ocean, the earth. He said, oh, stop, oh amphibious beast, like that. And it says that Lord Varaha felt a little insulted like that, because he thought he was looking pretty good like that, you know. This guy called him an amphibious beast, you know. If you look at the pigs in Vrindavan, they're really stylish. They have these kind of like high heels and this stuff. It looked like somebody was really, you know, mode of ignorance, eating caviar and, you know, and with the snails and all this kind of stuff. You know, and dressed very nicely, bathing every 3 or 4 days, you know, so they become pigs in the next lifetime. But anyway, Lord Varaha, you know, was a little insulted by this, you know. So then he exchanged his insults with Hiranyaksha, and he said, yes, true it is that we are, true it is that we are inhabitants of the forest, and we are used to killing dogs like you, like that. So they exchanged these insults for some time, and it's very funny pastime, like it's like a joke, you know. And you know, it's God incarnating as a pig, you know, as a hog, you know, like that. Then finally, he finishes off, he kills him, and they're using Shakespearean English, like that. And Brahma comes and says, oh, what blessed death the crest son of Aditi's offspring has achieved, like that. He has shuffled off his mortal coil. And it's all Shakespearean English. And then Lord Varaha departs, and all the sages are glorifying him. He departs for his own abode, making a loud trumpeting sound as he goes off like that. And I imagine his abode is something like a British English country fair, you know, people are eating pies and wearing clothes, and there's Lord Varaha with a hat with a feather in it, and all dancing and playing games, you know, it's just, you know, with a big mug full of root beer or something like that. And he said he went to his own abode where there's always an uninterrupted festival going on like that, you know. So I think that kind of, I would probably read more verses here, but we do one verse a day, so I'm going to stick with this one. But the main point is that Prabhupada says this in terms of Ramachandra. In the first or second canto, there's one shloka, two shlokas about Lord Rama's incarnation. And when the ocean wouldn't give him a passage to go to Lanka to rescue Sita, he became so angry that just his eyes glancing over it made the ocean boil. I mean, all the aquatics in there just terrified in fear, like that. You know? So Prabhupada says in the purport, this is a big problem for the impersonalists. They can't accommodate this idea that the Lord can become angry, like that. Right? You know, they want to get rid of all these emotions, get rid of all these things. You know, but you know, we see that actually here is that, you know, Lord Narasimhadeva is actually what he says. He just wanted to see the fun. He wanted to see the fun. It's kind of a little sadistic enjoyment here, you know. Bhakti on the Vrashana Parikrama, his name Chaitanya, boy from South Africa. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, he's British, South Africa. I think he's Bhakti Chaitanya. He said that in the Krishna's club, what's the name of Krishna's club? Huh? I think it's Kamudi, isn't it? Kamadi? Kamadaki. So he smashes all these demons, you know, plasticizes them, you know, just smashes them like that. And it says until they become muddied earth, you know, mud. He smashes these guys like that. But he doesn't clean his club. He lets the blood kind of dry off, and every now and again he kind of just looks at it and, you know, remembers his different pastimes. One time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, so he asked Sridhar Maharaj about how these pastimes in the material world appear in the spiritual world, the Boma Lila, you know. And he said, Sridhar Maharaj said, passive. So he asked for more explanation. He said, just like some British officer, he goes to India and there's one big tiger causing problems, so he goes with his men and he kills it, shoots it. Then he stands with his foot on the head of the tiger with his Indian gun bearers there next to him, and take a picture. Then he goes back to England sometime later, and he's showing all his pictures when he was in India. And all the ladies there, they say, "Oh, he's so big. He's so dangerous. You're so brave." And he says, "Yes. You know, it was a little frightening, but I killed the rascal." Like that, you know? So Lord Narsingadev, when he's in Vaikuntha, he shows pictures of Hiranyakasipu and everything to all the Lakshmis, and they go, "Oh, how wonderful." You know, because you can't have, you know, like, you know, Lord Narsingadev is not throwing intestines all over Vaikuntha, that kind of stuff, you know, like that. And after he did that, he tore his heart out. After he made a garland out of the intestines, and he ripped his heart out, you know. So these things appear in Vaikuntha, but in a passive sense, like that, like a picture, you know. In the same way, Krishna, in the material world, he appears in a passive sense. Radhakala Chandra, you're having so many pastimes, right? But, you know, from a material point of view, they're just kind of standing there, you know, not moving. Until we all walk out the door, and then they start, you know, carrying on. And the second we open the door, they get like, you know, yeah. But as we become more spiritual, we begin to see that they're actually having pastimes. Shakshi Gopal, right? This Brahmana wanted Gopal to come from Vrindavan and be a witness about the wedding arrangement. And he was talking to Gopal and this and that, and he said, you saw this, and unless you come, this old Brahmin's going to break his promise. I don't want that to happen. So you got to come and you know, be a witness. And then Gopal said, I saw it, but I never heard of a deity, you know, moving like that or something like that, you know. So then the young Brahmin said, look, if you can talk, you can walk. He said, oh, my God. This cat, I was tricked. He tricked me. And I said, oh, okay, all right. You know, I'll walk behind you. Nobody will see me. You'll hear my ankle bells. And every time when you turn around, I'll just stay there and you can cook for me each night like that. Yeah. So when we become more purified, you know, we actually begin to see these pastimes. Krishna feels like that, like this. You know? Jayananda said that one time during the Sunday feast in San Francisco, Jagannath was up on a high platform, kind of raised area, in the temple on Frederick Street. I don't know if it was even dressed then, you know, at that point. And they had Christmas tree lights that would blink, and so all the hippies would come in on LSD and stuff, because in the lights were changing colors, then Lord Jagannath's body would change, like the red and the blue and the stuff would kind of like change like that, you know, so people would watch it. So anyway, somebody asked Prabhupada, what does Lord Jagannath look like when he becomes self-realized, you know? And so Prabhupada just looked at Lord Jagannath, like look at Sri Ram, and say, well, he's got gold-rimmed glasses there. He's got black hair, nicely parted. He's got a plaid, a blue shirt, big smile, you know. Yeah. So same way, Prabhupada looked over. He said, oh, you'll see a prince at Kurukshetra with royal dress, surrounded by soldiers and ministers and queens, you know. But Jainanda said it was just describing what he was seeing. He was looking old. And nobody else saw that. Nobody else could see that. But Prabhupada was just looking, you know, seeing like that. You know? So all these pastimes, the Lord Nrsingadev, you know, Hiranyaksa, you know, they're all the avatars. It depends on our consciousness. Yayata mam prapajante, what we're going to experience. So Hiranyakasipu is, you know, thinking Lord Varaha is some kind of magical invention, you know. And Hiranyaksha is thinking that, you know, Lord Varaha is some kind of amphibious beast, like that. You know? And then, on the other hand, the Lord has so many activities, pastimes. Whatever exists in this world in terms of qualities and pastimes and things that are enjoyable, they all exist in the spiritual world, right? But there, they're eternal, right? Here, everything is destructible. Whatever you want to enjoy is destructible. And whatever is causing you distress is destructible. Many people are afraid of death. But when it actually happens, it's pretty boring. It's just like, oh, that's all it is? I was expecting something really, you know, terrifying and horrible. You know, you just die and, okay, another body. Yeah. Material world, there's nothing absolutely bad and nothing absolutely good. It's all kind of slouching on to the next thing like that. In the gospel, Apocalypse. The very last book in the Bible, one angel's talking to one guy, and he says, You used to be a really fired up devotee, you know. But now you're not a fired up devotee, you're not even a big demon, you know. You're neither one. You're lukewarm, like the spew from my mouth. Drool coming out. So say, either be a demon or be a devotee, but don't take the whole thing as just, you know, some kind of neutral thing like that. You know? So Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, you know, they have this opportunity. Krishna comes, you know, to really stimulate their anger, their, you know, the different feelings like that, and then purifies them of all the different reactions, and then they, you know, they can engage in their normal activity again. These are all rasas with Krishna. There's nothing else but rasa with Krishna. Geometry, algebra, these are all rasas with Krishna. All the mathematics. Time is a rasa. You know? But Hiranyakasipu, Hiranyaksha, they're in some kind of perverted relationship. Right? It's an improper mixture of rasas. Secondary rasa is anger, and it's becoming, what was it? When the primary rasa here probably is servitorship. The primary rasa is servitorship. Angry at their master, but now the primary rasa has retreated and the secondary rasa of anger has become prominent like that, you know, and it's kind of in a perverted sense. But Krishna, by stimulating it, right, by making them more angry, you know, it becomes so furious when they're fighting with him. It describes it here, he's so furious, you know, that then, you know, burns up the impurity and the primary rasa comes out again like that, you know. Jambavan, he was angry at Krishna, right? And how many days did he fight for? They were fighting for 28 days. And Jambavan finally began to figure out, this has to be God. The same Lord Ramachandra. And then, yeah, they could see him then, you know, like that. You know? So Prabhupada says, sometimes, yeah, Krishna's satisfied also. He enjoys this. For him, it's play. It's fun, you know. He's materially, he's purifying his servant. And from his own point of view, it's a pastime, you know, which you can't do in Vaikuntha. In Gokula, H-I-J-K-L, the gopis have husbands, and there are demons. In Goloka, in the spiritual world, the gopis only think they have husbands, and they never quite show up like that, you know. And there's only rumors of demons, right? Yeah, the material pastime and the spiritual pastime. So Krishna also enjoys himself in the pastimes in the material world. It's a little fun to come here and do these things sometimes. But he's only associated with the material world sometimes, whereas his association with the spiritual world is constant, like that, in that, the Antaranga Shakti. You know. But still, it's also, for him, it's all just pastimes and play. You know, he knows that it's all just illusion, you know. And so he's purifying his servant, like that. Yeah. So any comments, questions about why the Lord is sadistic?
No? No? Alright, just to clarify, the Leela avatars are emanating from Mahavishnu?
No, what I was quoting was a purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada says that by worship of Mahavishnu, one becomes promoted to the worship of Lila avatars in Vaikuntha. Yeah. And by the worship of Lila avatars, one becomes promoted to the worship of Sankarshan right outside of Goloka, because they're different Sankarshans. You know. And all the demon-killing incarnations and the, you know, administrative incarnations, they all come through Shuradakshaya Vishnu. Yeah. So my understanding would be that what we see in terms of the Lila avatars in this world is not what's fully manifest in Vaikuntha. And by Kuntha they manifest more qualities which you know, the demons don't see here. The devotees may see that when they're here, like that, you know. Again, Ram and Ravan, you know, yeah. They just appreciate that God is all powerful. You know, Ravan is trying to finally figure out. You know, again, devotional service in the mode of ignorance is conducted out of fear, you know. In mode of passion, out of desire. Mode of goodness, out of duty. And then finally out of this spontaneous affection. You know? So the demons, they have, you know, they have some relationship. You know? They go to the Brahman effulgence sometimes, they get Sayujya Mukti, which means all they've realized is the eternality feature of the Lord. They haven't even realized, you know, his chit potency, really. You know?
So the Leela avatars do manifest the Ananda potency.
Huh?
the Leela avatars manifest the Anand.
Ram, you know, Hanuman's in Dasyaras. Yeah, I'm not sure how much Ram. Yeah, mostly Dasyaras, I think, in Vaikuntha. And then in Dwarka, there's some Sakya Ras, but usually it's reverential, you know, reverential friendship. In Sakya Ras, you think that, you know, there's no feeling of awe and reverence, but, you know, when it's, you know, fully manifest. But in Dwarka, it's still some respect for Krishna. Krishna's my friend, but still, you know, Uddhava talks with Krishna freely, but still he's respectful towards him. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Maharaj, can you explain, said you the translation of purport, how someone may have a lot of great material assets like wealth or strength like Hiranyakashipu, and it may not be just that we should respect him for being all great pious people for doing that, but actually the illusory energy could be fooling them by giving them material assets.
Yeah.
Could you explain that a little more?
Explain that a little. Yeah. Actually, the next purport probably kind of talks about this, and it says that all of Srinagadeva's soldiers and also attacked, you know, not all of Hiranyakasipu's soldiers attacked Srinagadeva, but he just killed them in a moment with his ends of his fingernails, you know, like that. And so Prabhupada says that the demoniac civilizations can be finished in a moment, and unless people change their habits, the Lord will finally become so irritated he'll just finish it off like that. So he says, now the whole world is like that. It's very prominent, you know. Very prominent. How terrible, you know, like that. Sadomasochism, cannibalism are becoming like, you know, relishable things. Yeah? You know, that kind of stuff. So become very, very demoniac. And killing animals, killing. How many is every day? You know, how many millions of animals are killed every day from the time the sun comes up till it goes down again? But apparently people are enjoying, you know, in a certain way like that. You know? But again, part of it is that Krishna wants, you know, for example, in the Bible, you know, people are doing these animal sacrifices. They're sacrificing cows and stuff like that. And there's pretty much indication that God doesn't want it, you know, like that. But they want to eat it. You know? And so then, finally, the quotation in the Bible says, all right, if you want to eat meat, God tells them to the prophet or something, if you want to eat meat, go ahead and eat it till it comes out of your nose and ears, right? So it's not a blessing. Bless you to eat meat until it comes out of your nose and ears. You know? No, it's a curse. Yeah, you know? But it's, you know, it's the only way you're going to learn. Okay, then you really, you know, you get material opulence. There's nothing in the material world when you turn away from Krishna. There's nothing. You know, it's, you know, zero. So if I'm enjoying, that means it has to be some duality, right? You know, right now you're running to the temple because it's cold, you get inside, it's warm, you feel, feel good, it's nice, it's warm here, you know. But when it's hot, if you come inside, it's go, oh, it's still hot here, you know, wish I could walk into the walk-in cooler, you know. So everything is duality in this material world. And that's why it probably says that, yeah, ultimately meat eating, it doesn't taste better, you know, it's not easier to digest meat, it's not more nutritious. You can make these artificial meats that you can't distinguish, you know. You can't distinguish this artificial hamburger and stuff from regular hamburger. It has gristle in it, it sticks in your teeth, you know, it's like, it tastes, you know. But Prabhupada says the ultimate principle is that meat means to be a man, a hunter, right, and kill, yeah. In Spain, in the butcher shops, they have meat right in the window. Then they have like a rabbit, skinned rabbit, stuck there too. So you can understand, this is what meat means. Meat means to kill, you know? Yeah? And that, so that envy, you know, that dominance to show, you know, show my superiority, you know, is the ultimate principle of this. So Krishna says, all right, try it, you know? You can molest other guys, you can molest other demons, and yeah, it's the only way you're going to get your enjoyment, you know, is by being better than others, you know? And when you really see the contrast and what's happening, then you begin to realize this is not so nice. You know, yeah, I'm enjoying like anything now, but I'm going to suffer like anything in the future. See, so it's not worth it. Yeah, so you get an opportunity to experience this. The demons get an opportunity to experience it like that. Yeah, yeah, they're howling. when they suffer. Yes, sir.
In the world of nature, there are two kinds of carnivores. There's the predators and the scavengers.
Oh, okay.
And most people are the scavengers. They just take like the crows and the vultures, they take some animal that somebody else has killed.
Yeah.
Where Prabhupada has said in a morning walk that if you're going to eat meat, go out and go hunting and kill the deer or whatever, but don't maintain the slaughterhouse.
Yeah. In Manipur, Manipur, where Subdhamana Maharaj is from, he said when he was a little boy, two men were out in their village, a very rural place, you know. They were out looking for one cow that had disappeared. And then a tigress jumped out of the bushes, grabbed one man, broke his back, and ran off in his mouth, you know, like an Indian guy. And the other guy was standing there, like, terrified. And so she killed the cow, you know. So she was living in one swamp near the village. And every now and again she'd come out and kill something. So after a little while they called the king of Manipur and he came. And they built a palisade, you know, a wall around the swamp. And they set it on fire so she had to come out. And they have a whole technique for fighting with tigers. And two guys are on both sides with armored horses. So she has to come right at the guy on the foot. And he's on foot with a shield, armor, and a spear, you know. Tiger's head about this big, right? You know, like that. And you've got to go right down the throat. You get her on the shield. You got to go right down the throat and hit the heart, and to get her like that, you know. And so that, okay, you want to eat meat? This is, you know, and okay, there's no real karma then. And after that, the tigress has a royal funeral, and they cook her up just like a king and like a, you know, royal personality, great personality, and. And sometimes, you know, the tigress wins. she has a feast afterwards, like that, you know. But then that's, you know, that's then, you know, there's no karma involved in that. Well, the Prabhupada also says if you're going to eat meat, then wait until the cows die naturally. You know, don't kill them artificially in this cowardly fashion, horrible fashion. Yeah. But it's a good point, though, because most people, and, you know, the supermarket is scavenging, you know. Somebody told me even a wolf wouldn't eat this stuff. It's not, meat is not red. You know, and the stuff in the markets is dyed. They use red dye. The actual natural color of the stuff these people are buying there is
kind of brown or gray.
Yeah, gray green. It's rotten. You know, and so if somebody said that even a wolf wouldn't eat this. He would urinate on it. You know, a carnivore, you know, is fresh, bubbling with hot blood. Okay, But, you know, with your teeth, you know. We're not designed for that. Yeah. So this is, you know, when you live in the material world in the mode of goodness, everything is a proper reflection of the spiritual world. And you actually can see what's going on. It's a reflection, but you can see what's behind you now. When desire comes, it becomes distorted, the mirror. And it's a mode of passion. And when ignorance comes, it's the exact opposite, you know, like that. And on different levels, the senses can be in goodness, the mind can be in goodness, the heart can be in ignorance, you know, intelligence. You know? Or else your senses can be in ignorance, and you're in your mind, so you're thinking all kinds of stupid, crazy thoughts, your senses are attracted to gross things, but at heart, you know it's wrong, you know, it's not correct, it's my nature, you know? So, and Krishna incarnates to stimulate us.
Yeah. You talk about demons appear in the spiritual world, it's kind of like a picture book.
Yeah.
But so, how do the Pandavas appear?
In their path. Well, one explanation is that Krishna is Narayan, and Arjuna is Nara. You know, so Nara, Narayan, Rishi, like that. So they're in like some kind of Vaikuntha atmosphere. But also too, on Vrindavan, of course, there's a Pancha Pandava tree, you know. And this, somebody was excavating Shamakund, and the Pandavas came in a dream, and they said, "We want to. We're here in the form of trees that we're watching all these pastimes. So please don't cut us down, you know." Because the Pandavas were during their exile, they were in Kamyavan, you know. There's a place there where, especially one well dedicated to them. So they were, you know. They also go into Vrindavan, you know, but in a little more passive ways, because it's, you know, so difficult to perform the dancing in Vrindavan and to perform the pastimes in Vrindavan. So it's like, you know, they also there, in different forms. Yeah. Yeah. Everything is there in Vrindavan. I mean, no, because sometimes, you know, Radha and Krishna want to play. So Radharani becomes, gets kidnapped by a demon. Probably Sridham, her brother, takes a part of a demon and kidnaps her. And then Krishna and all the cowherd boys have to find her or she's hidden. But they can't find her because Sridham hides her so well. And then, you know, she wants to go back and play with Krishna, but Sridham says, ha, 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 you can't, I'm a demon, you can't go. Let me go, you can't go. Oh, I want to go. So that becomes, you know, Sita and Ram. And the Sita Ram pastimes are carried out in Kamyavan, in Vrindavan. There's an Ashokvan, there's a Lanka. So everything is in Vrindavan, everything. You know, Dallas, Texas is in Vrindavan. You know, he's got a, under some rock or something like that. You know, it's like, where's, oh, there it is, Dallas, Texas. Yeah, okay, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, all the pastimes, everything has, I think, who is it? Subal? Not Subal. I think Sudam. Krishna rides on his shoulders in Vrindavan as a cowherd boy. You know, Sudama, and sometimes they play like that. He carries Krishna on his shoulders. So when Krishna expands himself to go to Vaikuntha, then he becomes Garuda in Vaikuntha. And when he expands himself in the material world, he becomes Garuda in the material world. You know, it's that incarnation. So the Pandavas, you know, yeah, different, you know. So, you know, people have, you know, realizations of these things little by little. Okay. So Prabhupada ki. Lord Varaha ki. Warpimanandi. Huh?
Saint Valentine.
Saint Valentine's Day Massacre, yeah. Shrimati Radharani ki.